This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Our country loses tens of thousands of people to suicide every year. Some of them, no doubt, showed suicidal signs, others less so. What if there was a simple blood test that could predict who is at a higher risk of suicide? Researchers at Johns Hopkins are looking at how to do just that. And with me to talk about it is Zachary Kaminsky, Ph.D. He's an assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Johns Hopkins Medicine. He's also the lead researcher on a study published last week that posits a possible blood test for suicide risk. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Sheila.
So tell me how this test would work.
Well, essentially, what we would do would be to measure a new type of molecular mark that we believe we've identified in a gene that seems to be associated with suicide. So cutting to the chase for a blood test, as it were, it's essentially that we've identified an elevated level of this chemical modification for a particular gene called SCA2. So for trying to predict suicide, what we would be doing is to be looking for this elevated level in the blood from individuals that we would take. And we would put this into our various statistical models to try to generate an estimate of risk.
Let me back up. Gene associated with suicide. Was it already known that there is a gene associated with suicide?
No. So we really started this study from scratch, and we were looking for these sorts of molecular marks. Essentially, these marks are on the DNA connected to genes that act like light switches. It might be better to think of them like dimmer switches because they can turn up or down the levels of a particular gene protein that's made. Now, a gene protein is like the machine of the cell, but the DNA is the blueprint. So the question is, when you've got this blueprint, how much of this gene is going to be made? And so we were studying these molecular marks, and we were asking the question, are any of these genes, any genes at all, turned off in suicide when they shouldn't be? So the way we did that was to use a technology that allowed us to really take a snapshot of the entire genome, all the genes at once, and ask, is anything different? And we did this in postmortem brain tissue from individuals who had died by suicide compared to those who hadn't. And this one gene, this SCA2 gene, really came to the top.
SKA2. It came to the top in the sense that you saw that there was more of it in people who had taken their own lives?
Yeah, this dimmer switch looked to be turned off, as it were. So we followed this, and then what we did was to look for the levels of gene expression for SCA2 also in the brain samples, and we found that they were much lower. So it did look like levels of SCA2 were much lower in individuals who had died by suicide.
So when you say the dimmer switch was turned off, it was not holding down a stress chemical? It was allowing that stress chemical to be produced in great amounts?
Well, what we think SCA2 does, and this is really based on where SCA2 fits into other gene pathways that are involved in stress response. Now, what we think it does is to help shut off the stress response after a stress. So if we get stressed out, our bodies flood with cortisol, and this allows us to do what we need to do to get across the street or to wake up in the morning and get through that 9 a.m. meeting. You know, normal levels of stress are good, but then when it's done, this needs to shut off. And what we think SCA2 does in its normal function, if you have the right amount, we think that SCA2 helps to turn this off. So what we're finding is that if you've got lower levels of this, what we think is happening is that this isn't shutting off. And this is consistent with what's been shown in terms of dysregulated stress response in individuals who are suicidal.
I know this was a small study, but how clear were your results? How sharp a difference?
Yeah, you're right. It is a small study. And I do want to stress that, of course, this is not a clinical test that's currently available. But it represents a promising finding. And how promising was it? It was about 80% to 90% accurate, depending on the small samples that we looked at. So this really suggested that we might have the potential in the future, once we validate this with much larger cohorts of individuals, once we find out that we can test this reliably in larger groups, that we really may have a lot of potential to predict suicide.
80%. So you're saying there's an, when you look retrospectively at tissues of people who have committed suicide versus those who didn't, there's an 80% difference in what you in the patterns you see of this gene expression.
Not exactly. What I mean is that we got 80% right in terms of individuals. When we broke the group of people into those who were thinking suicidal thoughts versus those that hadn't, the worst that our model performed in these small groups of individuals was getting 80% right. So we properly guessed 80% of those individuals who were thinking suicidal thoughts by modeling suicide based on this modification in the blood.
On WIPR Maryland Morning, I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Zachary Kaminsky, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Johns Hopkins Medicine. He's the lead researcher on a new study looking at a blood test that could possibly be used to predict suicide risk. And so how do you envision this test being used if it comes to be?
Yeah, so we've envisioned a few scenarios. One scenario that makes a lot of sense is to try to augment suicide screening that's already going on in various emergency room scenarios. Clinicians are screening for suicide risk, and a molecular test like this could really help to identify individuals that may be at higher risk, and this could help to tell a clinician how much they need to monitor someone, for example, if they're admitted to the hospital. The other scenario that we've envisioned is that it might be useful in the military. We know that the military experiences extreme stress. And one aspect that I haven't mentioned yet is that what we think this does is it confers a vulnerability to stress. So the military populations essentially are experiencing extreme stress and coming back from active duty and are at higher risk. And so identifying those individuals, we may be able to intervene.
Is there a way, as you understand through your work, more about some brains failing to control stress levels, the levels of stress hormones? Is there a way this could be used to create a medicine that would counteract that?
I mean, it's a great question. One of the things that we believe is that this probably isn't going to be the only gene that is important for suicide. It's a really interesting one. But currently, the technologies are not there to change a single gene. If this were, you know, a wonderful target with further research, if it was really that important, we don't have the technology to change the levels of the molecular signal for that particular gene, especially in an organ like the brain, which is difficult to reach. That being said, current medications may, in fact, change levels of these chemical modifications already. This needs a lot more study.
So that may be how they're working. We just don't know. We just don't know yet how it is that they work.
It's possible. Psychiatric research is finding that a lot of the medications that are used currently, various antidepressants, for example, do change these chemical marks. They don't just act to change signaling between neurons.
So this was a small study. There needs to be more study. What kind of timeline are we looking at before this is something that could actually be used?
Well, I mean, if this is really as promising as we think, and if we continue to validate it, you know, it's difficult to imagine, but it could be anywhere from 2 to 10 years. It really depends on what regulatory bodies want and also how well it performs, whether it's going to stand up to the test of time and to the test of working well in lots of individuals. So it could be soon and it could be a long time. It's hard to guess.
What's the very next step?
Well, the next step for us is essentially we're going to collaborate with the principal investigators at the Army STARS group. Now, this is a group that has blood from military service members both before and after deployment. And we're basically going to ask the question, how well does this marker do? How well can we predict the suicidal behaviors that are inherent in that population? So we're going to get a good idea pretty soon of how well this is going to work.
I wish you luck.
Thank you very much.
Zachary Kaminsky. He's the lead researcher on a new study looking at a blood test that could be used to predict suicide risk. He's also assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Johns Hopkins Medicine. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning, remembering a civil rights journalist. Stay with us on 88.1.